light sport aircraft defy the down economy? A few minutes with Ron Wagner of EAA. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Ron Wagner, who is manager of EAA Field Relations and was a forum presenter at the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo last month in Sebring, Florida. We wanted to talk to Ron because he had an up-close look at the event as a participant as well as an attendee. And this was obviously a bit of good news in what has otherwise been a rough news period for general aviation. Ron, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Oh, always glad to talk to you folks.
All right. Well, listen, first of all, the big surprise, I think, I talked to a couple of manufacturers and a lot of other people in the industry in the weeks leading up to Sebring, and they were concerned that the attendance and business done at the event would probably follow the same arc as the rest of the industry. And we've had nothing but, for the most part, bad news about layoffs and, you know, production rate cuts and all that. But Sebring turned out to be quite a surprise.
It sure did. We were very pleasantly surprised at the size of the crowds, the enthusiasm of the crowds, and frankly, the knowledge of the crowds. It's a very specific, dedicated audience that attends Sebring, and they were out in force every single day. Of course, the weather was perfect, and that always helps an aviation event. But every single day, attendance was as high as or higher than it had been in previous years. In fact, I think they set a record on opening day for having the highest attendance ever. And the attendance didn't drop off until the last day, which, of course, it always does. So, yes, it was a very positive opening to the aviation event season.
Well, now, the light sport aircraft market has been kind of hard to pin down and define. I think there were some expectations and assumptions going into the creation of this market segment that haven't necessarily come to pass exactly as thought. One of the things I see happening to a great extent is that while this was designed to be an entry-level avenue into general aviation, it has proven to have a great appeal to older pilots, people who are downsizing out of older, thirstier aircraft that take more space to store. And for a number of reasons, there are some people of financial means who remain interested in these small aircraft.
Well, that's certainly true. But when you look at the sport pilot and light sport aircraft arena, realize that we're in, I believe, year five of probably what will turn out to be a marathon in getting all the infrastructure and sport pilot operating at its full potential. We knew going in that the very first sport pilots or people exercising sport pilot privileges would be older pilots who, for whatever reason, didn't want to take the medical exam, and that's certainly proven true. And that's still holding true in the purchase of the light sport aircraft. The older folks certainly have the money and the resources to purchase a light sport aircraft. And until we get trainers out into the field, you won't see the influx of new pilots. It's still too hard to become a sport pilot. In most areas of the country, if a student goes to an airport and says, I want to become a sport pilot, the flight school, unfortunately, will say, well, gee, why don't you get a real pilot's license? Because by and large, the flight schools don't yet have these aircraft on their flight line. I think Cessna coming out with their Skycatcher sometime later this year and starting to make deliveries will have an impact on that. And when some of these light sport aircraft start to become available on the used market in numbers, I think that you'll see the flight schools adapting to them, realizing that they have a more modern trainer on the flight line and that it certainly has marketing appeal and they can attract many more new customers.
Well, I think in the short run, though, if we're going to have to go through a recession, it's great that it's happening at a time when these aircraft are being looked at by a lot of people who can still come to shows and still write a check.
I think that's right. And that was the other half of the good news. The manufacturers and the importers all said that they were selling airplanes.
Do you have a handle on what the total number of approved LSAs is now? I mean, it's got to be pushing 100.
I was going to say right in the ballpark of 100 different designs, not necessarily 100 different companies, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 designs. I used to keep exactly on top of it in the early days when we'd get another one, it was major news. But now there are so many of them that it's really hard to keep tabs on exact numbers.
I've run out of fingers, yeah.
Right. I don't have enough fingers and toes to count them all.
Well, one of the things I thought was interesting is that some of the big companies, which obviously are looking at LSA very carefully as a business proposition, were not there. And yet a lot of the companies that are doing very low volume kept the faith and showed up. Does this say anything about the business of light sport aircraft?
Apparently, these smaller companies are still selling whatever number of aircraft they need to in order to remain viable. And that's one of the challenges that faces a purchaser of a light sport aircraft is figuring out which one to buy. They're all pretty attractive. And I always tell in my forums, I say to people thinking of buying one, look at the company and their stability and the service and how well they have a parts network. Look at all those things as you purchase the aircraft, because you know it's hard to believe that 100 of them are going to survive in the long run, but we don't know which ones.
Well, and that said, it'll always be possible to buy AN bolts and Rotax parts.
That's true.
So, I mean, we at least have that going. Tell us about the forums you presented at Sebring and needs you see developing for instructions and seminars in the LSA category.
I gave actually the same topics I've been giving for the last couple of years. The sport pilot initiative or topic is so broad that I can't give a one-hour forum that covers anything, everything. So I usually title at least a couple of forums a day as Sport Pilot Ask an Expert. And I say that, I blush when I say that. But by doing that, I don't have a fixed format when I go in. And we kind of tailor the program to the audience. And this year, the audience had very good questions. They were right on top of things. It was mostly about certification. There's still some confusion on what the difference between an ELSA and an SLSA is and what the role of a standard category aircraft is. And some people wanted to know what an experimental light sport is, all of which can be sport pilot eligible or by the FAA's definition, LSA. So we spent quite a bit of time on those types of issues this year. But I keep the format open so that if somebody's there just getting their toes wet into aviation and they want to ask a little bit about learning to fly, we go there. And your question about what do I see as the biggest need, I think we need to get somehow, and I'm not sure how you draw them out, but we need to get the flight schools educated on the tremendous opportunity that sport pilot and light sport aircraft offer to them.
Ron, is it still a hard sell to traditional flight schools to convince them that offering sport pilot instruction is not cannibalizing their traditional business?
I think it is. Those that I've talked to, and I've talked to many of them all across the country that have actually done it, have bought a light sport aircraft, put it on the line, and offered sport pilot training. For the most part, they say that it has not impacted the rental of their Skyhawk or their Warrior or whatever else they have on the line. That this is essentially new money that comes into the sport pilot market. The other thing that we have to overcome is many of the flight schools take the approach that why would I want to sell a 20-hour license when I can sell a 40 or 60-hour license in the private license? And the fact of the matter is most flight schools have a dropout rate somewhere in excess of 70%.
Mm-hmm.
And that dropout rate comes shortly after solo. What our position is they can take those would-be dropouts and convert them to sport pilots, and now you have a rental customer or at least somebody that can come back at some stage later on and pick up flying again and have a valid license in his pocket. So you can do away with that tremendously high dropout rate that we have in flight schools right now.
My guest is EAA's Ron Wagner. We're talking about the state of the light sport aircraft segment and Sebring in particular, and we'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Platt. Talking today with Ron Wagner, manager of EAA Field Relations, about light sport aircraft in general and the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring last month in particular. Ron, in your interaction with folks at the event, do you get a sense that this segment is maturing in any way? Are there trends developing that will help guide the future planning of seminars and other education in the segment? And I'm thinking particularly here of things like repairman certificates and that kind of training.
I think that the people that want to do their own work on the aircraft are certainly pursuing that. The fact that our EA Sport Air Workshop's offering a 16-hour course toward the repairman certificate with an inspection rating are usually full. And in talking to the carpenters who take Rainbow Aviation around the country and do the 120-hour course for the SLSA repairman certificate, they're pretty busy people. So the demand is certainly there, and I think the training's in place, and those people that want to exercise that privilege are certainly taking advantage of it. There will always be people that want to come out to the airport and fly but really don't want to get their hands dirty working on their airplane, and that's the beauty of this rule. It allows it to be done either way.
There were a couple of things mentioned over the past year regarding light sport aircraft. One that really caught my eye was the initiative on the part of the Experimental Aircraft Association to get the rules modified to allow electric aircraft, electric-powered aircraft, into LSA. Has there been any further word on that initiative?
Actually, after the comment period closed, we haven't gotten any word back from the FAA. It's pretty typical, as in any rulemaking procedure, that after the public comment period, it kind of goes into blind period or a quiet period where we don't get any feedback, and then they'll come out with whatever their final rule is.
Any sense that we'll have an idea by the time Lakeland or Oshkosh rolls around?
I would certainly hope so. Government agencies love to make announcements when they have an audience, and certainly AirVenture is as good an audience as you'll get anywhere. So I haven't had any inside knowledge that they're going to, but it certainly makes sense. Whenever they possibly can, they announce things at our event.
All right, before we break the conversation off here for the day, let me ask you about other upcoming events during 2009. Last year, some of the regionals and local events were down. Oshkosh was off very, very little, almost statistically insignificant change in attendance. Foreign attendance was up significantly, probably because of a weak dollar, which has strengthened somewhat. Does EAA have any general outlook on how things will go for, out in the field during this year and how the economy will have an effect?
It's a very difficult thing to predict. And of course, Sebring made us more optimistic than we had been going prior to that. But we believe that it's a matter of people will just decide where to spend their discretionary dollars. And of course, we believe if you're involved in aviation, that AirVenture is the top of your wish list of where you'd like to be. So we're pretty comfortable that AirVenture will hold its own or grow a little bit, we hope. And we're looking forward to a good year. As far as the other regional events, not everybody can travel to AirVenture. So the regionals play a new role in that for those that can't make it to AirVenture, it's somewhere that they can go.
Well, at least this year, at least so far, it looks like you may have less expensive fuel working for you, both in terms of getting automobiles and spectator aircraft or attendee aircraft to events, and also maybe in making it a little more cost feasible for the warbirds to participate.
It sure looks that way, and we can only hope that trend stays the way it's going.
All right, Ron, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners or have them looking forward to for 2009?
No, I'll just look forward to meeting them at major aviation events across the country, and hope to see you there too, Paul.
Well, I will at least be at Oshkosh and maybe a couple others for sure. And Ron, thanks for taking some time for our listeners today.
Anytime.
My guest has been Ron Wagner, who is the manager of EAA Field Operations. You can always find out more about the Experimental Aircraft Association at www.eaa.org. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.